wake-up call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, a lot of stuff from the NFL this weekend, not only on the field, off the field, a lot of conversation. Josh Alpert joins us, ProFootballTalk.com. Help us process this on our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. How are you, Josh?
I'm great.
Let's start with Urban Meyer. What's the latest feeling, at least, on Urban Meyer? Are we generating this? Is there some real angst? Does Shad Khan have a decision to make? Where do you make of what's going on in Jacksonville?
It sort of feels like that Seinfeld episode where George Costanza was doing everything he could to be fired by the Yankees.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good. It feels like a terrible fit in terms of the coach, in terms of the, you know, moving up to the NFL. He didn't seem to have a fair appreciation of the difference that it would take from college and what goes into getting the job done. And, watching him walk off the field yesterday looked like a completely beaten man who wants to do anything other than be the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
In terms of his development or non-development of Trevor Lawrence, we've been arguing that I think it's okay to say, I'd like to see at least one or two games from this guy that shows he just doesn't have to be doing anything. How much does that fall on Meyer, and how does it fall on the coaches he doesn't seem to like right now?
Yeah, that's very hard to figure out from outside. But, you know, I think that is the kind of the easiest gauge was you had this quarterback prospect that everyone said was a generational prospect who's going to walk into the NFL and succeed. And, you know, people point out that Peyton Manning had a lot of interceptions as a rookie, or this guy or that guy struggled early in the career. But Trevor Lawrence looks terrible. He doesn't look, he looks as bad as Zach Wilson, as bad as you know, any of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. And I don't know how you quantify that in terms of which coach is to blame, but it all falls on the head coach at the end of the day. And it's just been a disaster with Urban Meyer.
Now let's go around some of the games yesterday and some of the impact of what those games may mean. And maybe it's a little early to say save a season because we still have four games left, but it felt like to me the Browns did salvage something so far with that win over the Ravens. What has been the Browns' big issue, and are they still have some issues to fill?
You know, it's interesting. There was an interview before the game that was on NFL Network with Baker Mayfield and Kurt Warner, and he talked about the internal issues of this season and how much they've been affected him. And I think everyone obviously looks at the Odell Beckham stuff and the injuries, but play calling has been a big thing. And you saw it in that game yesterday. They were up big, and all of a sudden they just sort of went into a shell. And I think that, more than anything, sort of is the lesson of the game, that this is a pretty good team, and maybe it's time to really let, you know, just take off all the brakes and let it all fly and let it all hang out. You got nothing to lose at this point and everything to gain from letting Baker Mayfield loose. And maybe it doesn't work out. And maybe that's how you know once and for all that he's not going to be the guy, and you don't sign him to the extension and you don't move forward in the long term with him. But gosh, this sort of half-measure stuff isn't working, and it's not going to work. And I think that, for me, was the big thing about watching the end of that game. It was Tyler Huntley playing quarterback for the Ravens, and the Browns did not go for the kill shot. And you just have to do that at some point.
All right, let's go to Kansas City. What do you make? Again, they wallop the Raiders, and they do it defensively, and as well as getting some stuff offensively as well. What has been the turnaround? Is it mostly defense? Has the offense gotten back to where we think it should be?
I think it's mostly defense. I think all along, and this isn't, you know, the offense has been better, and I don't want to discount that entirely. But I think when you look at that Chiefs team in the early season, and it was, if you got to a league average defense, that team was going to be really, really hard to beat. And now they look like a top five defense. And you put that with that offense, and even as that offense sort of, you know, struggles to find its exact place, but I think it's that defense all the way. And what an incredible addition Melvin Ingram's been, and what it's meant to that team by moving Chris Jones back inside to defensive tackle and sort of finding some new players to put into the secondary and stop relying on some of the guys that were struggling early. And it just, it's been a remarkable turnaround. And it's one that I think people are kind of sleeping on, because Kansas City hasn't been that, you know, that fun highlight reel team that they've been in past seasons. But I put it all on the defense, and I think you can't credit Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid and everyone there enough for what they've done on that side of the ball.
All right, let's go to the Carolina Panthers. Christian McCaffrey is out, but yesterday I've seen two arguments that he was switching quarterbacks because Cam runs better and P.J. Walker throws better, and then I heard another argument that said, well, it was when the guy, whoever made a mistake, was sitting down. How did you read his changing at quarterback?
Desperate man grasping at straws.
Without a doubt.
is how I read that one. He talked about P.J. Walker knowing the two-minute offense better, and I'm sure he does. He's been there all season. But, you know, Cam Newton had 2 weeks to prepare for that game, and, he wasn't awful. I thought Matt Rhule was a little bit actually overly critical of Cam Newton for one of those turnovers. His center stepped on his foot. He fell down and fumbled the ball. That's hard to put directly on the quarterback. But, you know, I think it's the heat is on Matt Rhule. I think that he's not Urban Meyer, but he's another guy who came to the NFL with a lot of hype about how great a college coach he was, and the results haven't fit that. And I think that the next few weeks, I think, are going to be very big, because if the Panthers are going to blow it up, and look, they still need a quarterback, they still need a lot of help all around the roster. I don't think it's a zero chance that Matt Rhule's back for a third, gone before a third season.
The Buffalo Bills overtime loss to Tampa Bay, and they come back in this one. They show that grit, all of the things you want to say, but they still lost, and that loss puts them at 7-6 with a whole bunch of other teams playing around in that wild card era. Did the Bills still have that sort of, our record is what it is, but we're still a head and shoulders above some of you at 7-6, or there's a few issues here?
I think there are some issues, and I'm curious to see how Josh Allen's foot is this week. I think is the biggest issue of all, because I think when you look at the Bills and you put them against those other teams that are searching around for a playoff spot, you look at the Bills' schedule and you see, games against the Jets and some very winnable games coming up on that schedule that makes you feel a little bit better about their chances of getting to the playoffs. How long a run there's going to be, I don't know, but it was heartening to see them come back and fight last night, because they haven't done that in other weeks, and they've been, they looked so soft in some of those losses. So at least there's some of that there. But if Josh Allen's not right, and the team continues to put all of their eggs in his basket, it just makes it very hard to believe in them. But if he's healthy, I still think they're going to wind up as a playoff team in the AFC.
All right, it's one thing if you beat up on the Lions like Denver did, and I know it was a very emotional day with Demaryius Thomas and the tributes, but the Broncos are also one of those 7-6 teams. What is their stock as we head to the last few games of the year?
Yeah, they're a team that if they don't beat themselves, and most of the times they lose, you can look and you'll see the turnovers and you'll see Teddy Bridgewater having to put too much on his shoulders. And the games that they win, they run the ball and they play sound defense. And it looks a lot like, yesterday was a bigger blowout than they get in most weeks. But I think that's a formula that works for them. And I think it's not necessarily one that is exciting to watch or pleasing in terms of how it's going to look on the stat sheet. But they're capable every week of coming out and playing that kind of a game. So I think that the seventh wild card or the seventh playoff spot opens the door to a lot of teams that are, hate to say that they're not a good team, but they're a team that takes advantage of their opportunities and when they don't beat themselves are capable of winning games. And that's where that's going to be that team, whether it's it's the Broncos or the Colts or the whoever it is in the AFC, you know, the Browns are another similar team. They don't look exactly like the Broncos, but it's the same kind of formula they use to succeed. And it just opens the door to teams like that to, I mean, quite honestly, I think be sacrificial lambs in the first round of the playoffs, but you know, good for them to get there.
This is sort of a big deal, little deal, no deal type of question. What happened on Thursday night, Chase Claypool and the first down and the seconds that were ticking away. He could simply go like he did, I got to do better and it never be an issue again. But if you're Pittsburgh and you have a coach that is very into discipline and even making sure that nobody messes that kind of system, is this a big deal or is this something that will just go away?
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that's a big deal in a certain way, and it's something that with Claypool in the off season there was talk about him and his, you know, that he was a quote unquote diva receiver, and a couple of weeks ago with we need music at practice and that's why we're not practicing well and not playing well. It's the kind of thing where it just becomes fodder for a conception about a player that's already been in place.
Sure.
And I don't think they're going to be in any rush to get rid of a Chase Claypool. They don't have enough good receivers to be doing that. But he certainly seems like a guy who you're looking at, you know, I wouldn't be banking on a second contract in Pittsburgh at this point. And I think that, you look at Juju Smith-Schuster and it's almost a carbon copy of the same kind of thing. He's a really good player, but probably at the end of the day isn't worth all of the extra stuff. I don't know that they win the game without that, you know, without him doing the first down posturing and posing and everything else. But it just is such a terrible look for a team that normally, you know, we've been accustomed to the Steelers doing things the right way, and it doesn't fit on that.
Josh, always good talking to you, my friend. Thanks for catching up with us on a Monday. Appreciate it as always.
My pleasure.
You got it. Josh Albert, ProFootballCanuck.com. Love catching up with Josh. On a Progressive guest line, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive New Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. As we wrap up this hour of Wake Up Call coming up next.